Today's episode is brought to you by the Southern Living Plant Collection. To view our plant collection, find a retailer near you, or buy online, visit southernlivingplants.com. I'm lean, I'm mean, I'm a gardening machine. It is I, Steve Bender, the Grumpy Gardener. Welcome back to Season 2 of Ask Grumpy, a podcast from Southern Living. One of my foremost goals as Grumpy Gardener is to have all of my fans be able to grow gardens that are just as beautiful as mine. A daunting task, I know. I'm here with my sassy co-host, Nella McGough. Hello, Nella.
Hey, Grumpy.
Hi, Nella.
How you doing today?
I am doing utterly wonderful.
Great. All right, here is a question from Janice.
Janice, what you got?
My dad has the most beautiful roses and is very steadfast about fertilizing, spraying, and watering them. However, while his white roses have very healthy foliage, the flowers look sickly, brown, and deformed. This makes him very, well, you know, grumpy. Please help.
Well, I'm glad that he's steadfast. That's a quality that we should all possess in this world. But he's also a curmudgeon, and there's a couple possible reasons why he feels this way. And the problem with his roses could be a couple things. The first is a physiological phenomenon called balling that has absolutely nothing to do with athletics, but it strikes roses that are very round, globe-shaped, and have a lot of petals, and they're very densely packed. And during cool, rainy weather, the petals stick together, and they don't open, and the flowers eventually just dry up and turn brown. And there's not much you can do about this other than plant the roses under umbrellas, which is a non-starter for your dad, trust me. The second possible perp for this is a tiny little insect called a thrip. You can hardly even see it. And it loves to infest the blooms of roses and suck and chew on the petals. And because of this, the buds often don't open and they turn brown. So if you think you have thrips to control them, what you do is you apply a product called Bio-Advanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care according to label directions in early May, and that should take care of the problem.
Good. Well, I sure hope Janice's dad gets some relief from his sickly brown
and remains steadfast. Semper Fi!
And we don't want him to be grumpy, too. There's enough grumpy.
You got me.
That's right. All right. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
We'll be back with more after the break. Welcome back to Ask Grumpy, a podcast from Southern Living. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Nella.
We are ready for your chosen plant of the week.
Plant of the week. And for this week, we're going to start off with daylilies. Now, let me get this out of the way first. If you have deer and you aren't willing to spray deer repellent, don't plant daylilies. They'll be gnawed off at the ground. But for the rest of us, just enjoy. There are so many different kinds of daylilies. There are small ones, there's tall ones, there's scented ones, reblooming ones, ruffled ones, in just about every color you can think of except blue. Full disclosure, I have the only blue one in the world, and it can be yours for $1 billion. How about it? You can afford that, can't you?
Yeah, no, thank you.
So disappointed. So, how to grow daylilies. What they need is, first of all, is they need a sunny spot, and they need well-drained soil. Now, to get the color and size and shape that you're craving, the best idea is to go to a garden center while they're blooming, so you can see them and know exactly what you're going to get. Or you could go and visit a daylily farm. You ever been to a daylily farm, Nella?
Well, not a farm, but I've been to someone's backyard near here who sells daylilies that just She has a lot of them in her backyard.
Okay. But there are farms, believe it or not. And there's acres and acres and acres of daylilies. And to find one near you, all you have to do is Google daylily farm plus your state or zip code, and they will give you the location. An acre of daylilies is quite a show, rivaling even Nella in pearls.
Well, that is something. Hey, so you have to take a shovel, or they have shovels, or
no,
you can't buy them there?
Can you? Yes, you can buy them there. That's mm-hmm. that's what they want you to do, but it's not like, you know, a U-pick operation. You just go and dig one up. They'll have them all for sale, and you can just see how many different ones that they have. There's hundreds of different kinds of daylilies, which makes them nice because there's so many different colors, so...
Yeah.
So that's a good place to go. And it's also a fun outing. Makes really good pictures.
Yeah, that's
for you and your kids, as long as they don't stomp the flowers. Tell them not to do that.
Well, they multiply too.
Oh, yeah. Daylilies are one of those plants, when you put them in the ground, they form a big clump. And after about a year or two, you can dig them up and you can separate the roots out and you can get three or four plants where you only had one. So... the good thing is, even if you're paying a pretty penny for a very special daylily, you know, you're paying $20 or something like that. But once you divide it into, you know, five plants, that's $4 a plant.
Now, when do you divide it?
Good time to divide daylilies would be late winter, early spring, or also in the fall.
Uh-huh.
And they're very amenable to this, and they'll take up right from where they left, and it's a good way to get more plants for free.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you one more question. You're always talking about well-drained soil. Is it something that you need to amend your soil with?
Well, some people are just lucky, and they're born with well-drained soil, like those people in the Midwest that got 16 feet of topsoil in the ground.
Uh-huh.
Most of us, where we live, we have red clay.
Yeah.
Red clay does not drain well, and it compacts. So what you can do, the best thing you can do to loosen red clay soil is work lots and lots of organic matter, any type of organic matter that you can put in the ground. It could be soil conditioner. It could be composted cow manure. It could be kitchen compost. It could be chopped up leaves from all of your trees and stuff. And you just work that into the ground. And what that does is the organic matter will bind all the particles of the clay together so that air and water can get down into the ground.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And that's very healthy for the roots, and it's the best way to loosen up that soil.
Yeah. I think our zoo here in Birmingham, I think they used to sell, like, elephant manure. Do they still do that, I wonder?
I really don't know, but I think we should send you on a special mission.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I should go. That's what I get for talking too much.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm shutting up. All right. Have a good day.
You too. See you at the zoo.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to Ask Grumpy. This podcast airs every Wednesday and Saturday. If you have a question, you know where to find me. No question ever goes unanswered on the Grumpy Gardener Facebook page. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts so you won't miss an episode. And we love your feedback, especially positive feedback. If you could rate this podcast from 9 to 10 and leave a review, that would make me, Grumpy Gardener, very happy. You can also find us online at southernliving.com/AskGrumpy. Nailed it.